We want to thank the Handbell Choir for that beautiful number. And we'd also like for us to go now and think of those within our community that are having some difficulties and situations in their lives that we need to be remembering in prayer. And I want to share with you each of these briefly, and you be in prayer for each one of these, please. Sherry Carter's brother-in-law passed away September the 20th. Larry Reese's father had a pacemaker implanted, and his son, Robert, had a skateboard accident. Paul Anderson's grandmother passed away this September the 30th. Jimmy and Angela Cohn, they had twin boys, and hopefully one will be coming home today. And I'm sure they're very appreciative of your prayers for these two young boys. We celebrate the birth of Neo Gabriel and Mathalia Aguayo, I think. They had a little boy, October the 6th. We want to remember Robert Cohen's, as he leaves the seminary, he's going back to North Augusta. His grandfather passed away, and he will be living with his grandmother. His grandfather passed away October the 5th, so we need to be praying for him. Sherry Burnett had back surgery. Phil Holmes' wife has been in the hospital since September the 29th, and she is pregnant, and the twins are due in January, so let's remember them in prayer. And Eddie Thompson's daughter, Ashlyn, who is 4 weeks old, has been in the hospital with a viral infection, and they hope to bring her home today. So we want to remember all of these in our community, and I'm sure many other concerns that each of us have. So let's spend a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll offer up our prayer this morning. Lord, we're grateful for this time that we have together to come into this place and to worship you. We thank you, Father, for each individual that has assembled here even this morning. And we pray that your Holy Spirit might speak in such a way that our lives would be renewed. Those areas of our lives that need to be changed would take place. We lift to you, Father, all of these that we have mentioned. Lord, you know their needs. And we pray that you would continue to minister and touch their lives and do the work in their lives through us as we touch their lives. Father, we're thankful that you love us, that you hear our prayers, and that you minister to our every need, and we're so grateful and thankful. So we worship you this morning. We thank you, and we ask now that all that is said and done would be done for your honor and glory, and that this morning that we might sense your presence among us, that we would know the realness of you in our lives, and Father, that there would be a moving of your Spirit among each of us as you speak to us, as we sense you in this place. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Let's stand together and sing.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Second Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14, reading through chapter 7, verse 1. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God.
I'd like to sing for you.
And all the people said, what is your soul desire? What is it that you want? What is it that we need? This morning we have heard the reading of God's word in 2 Corinthians. And in the 7th chapter, the first verse, we heard, since we have these promises. What promises? And promises to who? To answer that question, we look back in verse 14 of chapter 6, and then coming up to chapter 7, verse 1, we see two things here. First of all, it appears that there is a distinction being made between non-believers and true believers. And we see five contrasts here between those who are believers truly and those who are non-believers. It is a promise or promises that is being made here for those who are true believers. There is more to being a believer in Jesus Christ than just intellectual assent. There is more to being a true believer than just knowing all of the words and knowing all about God and about the life of Christ and about the doctrines of the church. We see promises made here to true believers. What does God promise the true believer? What does Almighty God promise us today? It says here that He is going to receive us. He will receive us. And that He is going to walk with us. And that He will be with us. It tells us here that He promises you and He promises me that He will abide with us. And not only with us, but in us. There is a promise that we are to become temples of the living God. He promises us here that He is going to walk among us. That He is going to be our God. That He is going to make true believers into His people. And then He caps it all off by saying, I promise to be your Father, your Heavenly Father. Can you imagine the magnitude of these promises that are being given to us today who believe in Jesus Christ, not just intellectually, but in our heart of hearts? He says, I'll be your Father, and you will be my sons, and you will be my daughters. What does it mean for God Almighty to be our Heavenly Father, for Him to be our God, for Him to reside with us and in us, to walk among us, to live with us? What does this have to do with our lives, with our future? If He is our Heavenly Father, that means that He has given us life, new life, a different life. It means that He, as our Father, is going to provide for us, to protect us, to be with us, to nurture us. It means that He is the authority of our lives, of our existence. And it is because we have these promises that we very quickly recited. It is since we have these promises, dear friends, that there are certain things that we are to be about. There's a certain type of person that God would have us through His Spirit to be made into this day and in the future. There are certain things that we are to do. A certain type of person that we are to become. Certain things that we are not to do. Because of these promises, since God has given to you these promises. Now, how do we get at these promises? How do we have them appropriated in our lives through His Spirit? How can we have God as our Father? Can we be His sons and His daughters? How can we have God with us and in us? How can these promises be fulfilled? I believe that in understanding this passage, 7:1 of 2 Corinthians, that we have great insight into the promises of God for our lives that we want, that we need. You have to start at the end of verse 7 to get at the first of verse 7. You have to start with the last phrase there before you can have appropriated into your lives the promises of God for us to be our Father, to be our God, to be with us and to be in us, for us to be His children. It says here, out of reverence for God. What does that mean? How do we start with the end of this passage to get to the first of this passage, to the promises? I believe the foundation, where the promises reside, where they come from, that which brings them not only an understanding of, but a reality of in our lives, comes from reverencing God, fearing God. In other words, relating to Almighty God as Almighty God. God Almighty is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And before we can have the things of God appropriated into our lives, we must start with God and reverence to Him. It says in the King James, fear of God. Do we today fear God? Do we reverence God as Almighty God in His holiness? Oh, I struggle as I strive to find a word that would say something about the holiness of God. Have we as His children, as His people, as His church, as a community of faith, have we a reverence for God, or have we lost something? I would challenge you to spend time in God's Word, studying what God Himself says to us about Himself, about His holiness. You remember that they could not even touch the Ark of the Covenant because it represented the presence of God? Do you remember that Moses had to take the shoes off of his feet because he was on holy ground? Do you remember that the priests, even before they could go into the Holy of Holies, had to sanctify themselves? They had to cleanse themselves. They had to be consecrated to God. God is holy. I don't know how to talk of the righteousness and the holiness of God today, but I know that He is. I know that He seeks to teach me of His holiness. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. God Almighty is glorious. And it is this holy God who wants to be our Father. Who He is, or should be the motivation for everything we do. Everything we are becoming. God, reverence for Him. How are you relating to God today? What is your relationship with this holy God that we are to reverence in order to have the things of God? Are you in relationship with Him? What is your relationship with holy God? Is there a relationship, or is there an attachment from God? Is there no keen sense of His presence, of His holiness, of His righteousness in your life? How do you relate to God? Is He some detached deity far away in the heavens that you know of, that you believe in, but He really has nothing intimately and personally to do with your life? Is He to you the great bell bondsman in the sky? that you cry out to when you get yourself into one of your messes, that one that you can call on to help you in times of need? Is he the pampering grandfather to you? The one who loves you with that perfect love that we are so thankful for, that's always ready just to bless us and give to us? Is he some dictatorial tyrant who has a bunch of laws and stipulations and regulations and wants to keep us under his thumb? How today do you relate to God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, the one who is constant in nature, the one who is holy and righteous? What is our relationship with him? He is holy God. He is righteous God. He is our Heavenly Father, our righteous judge. And that alone should be the basis for all that we are, all that we think, and all that we do. And I believe that God would say to me, "You do not understand my holiness. You must seek my face. You must be with me in order that you can reverence me as God. Relate to me as who I am." Now, what are we to be doing? It says that out of reverence for God, that we are to be perfecting holiness. Holiness is total otherness. Holiness is separateness. And it tells us in this passage that in the contrast, that what does a believer have to do with a non-believer? What does light have to do with darkness? What does the temple of God have to do with the temple of Baal? What are all of these contrasts about? What are we to be doing? Look over with me, if you have your Bible, to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 14. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you were living in ignorance, before Jesus became a reality in your life. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each man's works impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, relating to God as God. We are to be perfecting holiness. We are to be not like the world, but separated from the world." And it says not only are we to be holy as God is holy, to strive after it, but we are to be perfecting it, striving for it, working at it, practicing it in our lives to fulfill His holiness. And listen, the only holiness we can ever hope for or dare to ask for is a holiness of God transcended upon us as we are redeemed by His Son. To work at it, to work at being like the Master, like our Savior, to be making progress toward the goal of holiness, perfecting holiness. Now let me ask you another question. Are you making progress? Are you becoming more like Him? Is there more of the holiness of God residing in your life and through your life now than before? Are you being transformed? And are you radiating the glory of God in your life as He calls us to? Or are your habits as they were? Is your lifestyle as it was? Is your attitude staying the same? Are we making progress? Are you making progress? What about your actions? Let's back up a little further. Out of reverence for God, relating to God, as we strive after holiness because of who He is, it says that we are to purify ourselves of everything that contaminates body and spirit. That we are to be cleansed, purified of everything that contaminates, that pollutes, that spoils, that stains, that defiles our holiness. We are to be cleansed of everything that would spot our lives, our bodies, it says first. What we do with our bodies, what we do to our bodies, what we put into our bodies, where we allow our bodies to be, all that there is about our physical being, we are to be purified from everything that contaminates our bodies. All immorality. Because He is holy God. Because we're seeking after holiness because of who He is, that we are to shun those things, to be cleansed from those things. Not just of body, for there are a lot of people who have all things done right physically, but it also says the spirit. Our spiritual nature, that which makes us in the image of God, what we hear, what we look upon, what we experience in our spirit, what we expose our spirits to. It says here that we're to purify, that we're to have cleansed. I don't usually like the paraphrase of the Living Bible, but I like the word picture it paints here in this passage, because it says turning away from everything that defiles body and spirit. The word turning away reminded me of what repentance is. Repentance is turning and going in the opposite direction. Let us turn away from everything that pollutes our body and our spirit. Let us be more like Christ and less like the world. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? If I confess my sins, agree with God about them, that He is faithful and He is just to forgive me of my sins and to do what? To cleanse me, the same word, from all unrighteousness. If we want to have the promises of God, dear friends, dearly beloved, one who Christ died for, we must, out of reverence for God, seek after holiness and let the blood of Christ cleanse us from all of those things that defile our bodies and our spirit. And I have a word for our campus. It says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and I believe that at least part of what that means is God's truth, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with the other. And what? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. Cleanses us, the same word, from all unrighteousness. Folks, we're not going to have harmony on our campus and in our lives. We're not going to see restoration. We will not see reconciliation, and we sure will not see renewal and revival in our lives personally or in our seminary, God's seminary, corporately, until we first ourselves take our own ungodliness and God's righteousness and His holiness seriously. Until you and until I reverence God as God, and seek after that righteousness that comes through Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me, to purify me from everything that defiles my body and my spirit. And then, folks, God is with us, and God is with us, and He is our God, and we are His people, and He is our Father, and we are His children, And then the promises of God are ours through Christ. But it begins and it is maintained by our individual striving after what only can come from God and being in His presence and being changed by His glory and His holiness. Oh, would God allow me to see His holiness, to be consumed by it or purified by it or whatever He would do. Billy Graham said, there will be no revival, or there will be revival only when the people of God have a keen sense of the holiness of God, and when the people of God have a keen sense of the sinfulness of sin, our own personal sin. May God visit us, and may we see His glory. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, we know that You would do a work in our lives. And we do seek after reconciliation. And we do seek after fellowship. But, oh God, would You place in every heart of every believer the sole desire to reverence You, to relate to You as Almighty God, the Holy One, the Righteous One. May You start, Father, with a cleansing of our spirits and our bodies here now, that we may prove Your love. Cleanse us, we pray, in the blood of Jesus. Amen.